Hello, friends. Welcome to Think Jesus Cafe. This is your Daily 10, and this is your host, Mark Day. Today, let's continue our study of 1 John as we finish the first chapter. Last time, we thought deeply about what it means to confess our sins. Today, we'll think about this concept of being cleansed from all unrighteousness. So I'll read 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So, in verse 9, John uses those two words, faithful and just. Faithful refers to the fact that God is trustworthy and true to his promises. God is faithful, and so we can always depend upon him. The word just refers to the fact that God always does the right thing. Putting the two words together, we can say that God can always be depended upon to do the right thing. Now, when we confess our sins to God, we can be confident that God can be depended upon to do the right thing with both our confession and with the sins that we confessed. One interesting concept in play here is this idea of God's justice. The justice of God. What does it mean? Well, as I mentioned, the word just or justice means to do the right thing. But then that really begs the question, who gets to say what the right thing is? Who gets to set the standard by which we can say something is just or unjust? Well, the right and perfect standard of justice is God's own character. God is always just because God's character is always just. God never acts in ways that are contrary to his own character. And God's justice is always perfect, without stain, without fault, because God's character is always perfect. Now, this concept is of great significance. Honestly, it couldn't be overstated how important this concept is, but I'll only briefly touch on it today. There are people running all around making very loud calls for justice. Calls for justice here and calls for justice there. Now, calling for justice isn't a bad thing, but the issue at the moment is this: who's justice? Who gets to set the standard for justice? We can see immediately that conflict could arise very quickly, right? Justice is a good thing, but who's justice? My idea of justice? Your idea of justice? Or maybe we should bow to the ideas of justice from the man or woman in the next state or down the road. Who gets to say? And when standards of justice change over time, who sets the new standard? Well, all of this could get very complicated, and worldwide fighting rages because of different standards of justice, different standards of right and wrong. But the biblical worldview says that God sets the standard for justice because God is the creator and sustainer of the entire universe, including all human life. God's justice is rooted in God's character, and God's character is perfect. When people refuse to have God in their thinking, then they must try to create their own standards for justice, and of course, those standards are always tainted with imperfections. And often the imperfections are very large. God and God's character ought to be at the root of all practical outworkings of justice. We, as Christ followers, ought to seek perfect justice. That's a good thing. But we can only do that by knowing God's character and by trying the best we can to think and act in ways that rise to the standard of God's character, to the standard of God's justice. Well, the Apostle John says that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, and we considered the idea of confession last time, if we confess our sins, if we are in agreement with God about our sins, then God is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. God's basis for forgiving our sin is always the cross of Jesus Christ. God sacrificially crucified Jesus on the cross as the perfect, once for all time, payment for sin for those who would place their trust in Him as their Lord, their Savior, their everlasting Messiah. All sins forgiven, past, present, and future. The apostle had said in verse 7 that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. When we are in agreement with God about our sin, our daily sins, then those sins are nailed to the cross of Christ, and the sacrificial blood of Christ covers those sins too. So, on the basis of the cross of Christ, God forgives us of our sins, our daily sins, and cleanses us. We no longer need to carry the guilt burden of having sinned against God. We can release the guilt burden because our sin has been forgiven according to the justice of God, according to the character of God. Now, John uses that word cleanse, and it's so important, and it's so encouraging. The day-to-day Christian life is one of growth. It's a growth process. Conversion is instantaneous, but Christian growth, sanctification, is a lifelong process, daily growing in Christ's likeness. So, the Christian growth process has a pattern: our confession, God's forgiveness, and God's cleansing. Just as we are regularly confessing our sins, God is granting forgiveness of those sins, and God is cleansing us from those sins. That cleansing process involves God making us new creatures in Christ. God replaces unholy desires with holy desires that gradually dominate our own personal will. Those holy desires come to so dominate the life of a Christ follower that there is an ever-growing distaste for the unholy, an ever-growing hunger for the holy things of God. God cleanses. God cleanses us from all unrighteousness. This truth is so refreshing. What John is talking about here is the practical outworking of our faith in Jesus Christ. Those unholy desires, unholy passions in our heart, those God-belittling sins make it impossible to enjoy the blessedness of God, the blessedness of God's grace, the blessedness of God's character, and all of God's attributes. Yet, we human beings are created for the purpose of enjoying God. Yes, I know, it's true, we are created to worship God. But it's also true that we worship what we enjoy most in the core of our being. We worship that which we think will give us the greatest pleasure, the greatest satisfaction, the greatest sense of well-being. So you, my friend, were created to enjoy the God of the universe. The problem is that in the moment of conversion, in that instantaneous moment when we are born again, all sin is not eradicated from our life. Our guilty standing before God is erased. Praise God for that. But we do continue to sin, and that ugly situation makes it difficult to enjoy all of what God has to offer us. It's like having a dirty pair of sunglasses when you're driving through the beautiful Rocky Mountains. I can remember driving along with gorgeous snow-capped mountain peaks in the distance, but I had a problem. It was difficult to see through my sunglasses. I could see the road okay, but it was really difficult to see out into the distance. The lenses were smudged with fingerprints and dirt. I could see partially out of the left lens, but the right lens was so blurry. That situation of having blurred vision was really disappointing to me because I was missing the spectacular beauty of God's creation. I had to take action. I had to stop denying that the lenses weren't so bad. I had to acknowledge, confess, that my Colorado traveling situation was being ruined because of my own smudged sunglasses. Nope, I couldn't blame anyone else. I was responsible for my own smudged sunglasses situation. Well, I had to pause, take a moment so that the sunglasses could be cleansed. They needed to be cleansed. Once that happened, I put on the sunglasses and I could see so well. I could see both the highway and the beautiful snow-capped peaks of the Rocky Mountains. Wow! What a sight! I think of God's cleansing in a similar way. We don't do the cleansing. God does the cleansing. God cleanses us from unrighteousness, from sin, because it is just. It is the right thing to do. It is in accordance with His character. We confess, God forgives, and God cleanses. And we increasingly see more and more of the spectacular beauty of God in His holiness, righteousness, and justice. We gain a greater vision of God, a greater vision for the life we are now living, and a greater vision for our life to come. What a deal! We confess what is unavoidably obvious, and we gain a greater vision of God. Now that's something to live for. Let's all commit to grow in the habit of confessing our sins, seeking God's forgiveness, and enjoying the wonders of the Lord of Heaven. Thank you for joining us in Think Jesus Cafe. This is your host, Mark Day. I want to send a shout out today to our listeners in Western Kenya. Specifically, I want to say hi to Edward Mangole and his family. Edward is a godly man, a pastor, husband, father, farmer, teacher, and a leader in his community. Friends, if you can, pray for Edward Mangole today. And join us next time as we think about Jesus, a biblical worldview, and real life.